Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm recording, can see it, shining somewhere.
Those lights out there invite me to come there and learn.
Is the Fantastics obscure? Do people know that show?
I don't know.
Comment down below if you know the Fantastics. I saw that show on in my first New York trip.
Heyo,
starring
back before they closed.
I want candy. Aaron Frank Carter. Can you believe? And I met him afterwards. I thought we were going to get married.
You still might.
Honestly,
you still might.
I don't know much about Aaron Carter now.
He is in YouTuber boxing now.
No,
he live streamed a boxing match that he lost miserably.
Well, yeah, he's like.
Yeah. And he's the guy so he was boxing, it was like 6'7".
Yeah, he's small. I remember being much taller than him.
You want to sync up?
Hell yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Come on. 1 second without you is just too long. Been calling out your name like it's my song. Keep counting down the days to you. It's getting me through those Monday blues. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's the mini-sode. It's the mini-sode. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's the mini-sode. Is a mini-sode. Thank you to friend of the podcast, Nathan, for recommending that song as a Monday song.
What's that song?
It's Monday Blues by, correct me if I'm wrong on this pronunciation, Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue?
Yes. I know who Kylie Minogue is. Yeah. I just don't ever hear her last name pronounced very much. Yeah. And so I always get afraid that I say it wrong.
Remember when she was on Doctor Who?
What?
We'll talk about it later.
Wait, we'll talk about this now. Hold up. Everyone, welcome to the mini-sode.
Of course, she's a British icon.
Where, keeping with tradition, we are talking about Doctor Who. We do it every mini-sode. We've done it from the beginning.
Which is so interesting because neither of us have watched Doctor Who for many years.
I know. I have not watched Doctor Who since Matt Smith was still the Doctor. she's on the one with the killer angels, the Christmas episode.
Uh-huh, the Christmas episode.
I did not know that was her.
Gosh.
Goodness sakes.
I know.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Ian Allred, and I am the miniest, tiniest killing angel Gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer, and despite what Ian says, I think I am the miniest, tiniest angel killing Gleek. I don't know what he's saying to any of you.
We
I think he's a liar.
We can't reopen this wound. It nearly tore us apart last time.
Yeah.
We cannot get back into this debate.
Which one of us is mini or tinier?
Which one of us is more of a killing angel? We cannot do this.
Literally.
Well,
don't fight me today. I'm just kidding.
Today, we are talking about You Know It, You Love It, or maybe you just you maybe acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah.
It is New York, New York, the season two finale.
Yeah. Pretty polarizing episode, I would say.
Yeah. I think very polarizing, but like every single person themselves is polarized as a unit.
No, and that's what I mean. That's what, yes. Like, even the people who love the episode are like, this was weird.
Because, yeah, both of us were like, I really love this stuff. Mm. And also, this stuff sucks very bad.
Sucks hardcore. Before we get into it, EP Tiff sent us a Marco Polo in our group Marco Polo chat, and she said that it's her headcanon that in Bella Notte, you were saying that it sounds like Justin Bieber is doing it.
Yes.
So she was saying that it's not actually just those boys, it's the Justin Bieber experience singing that song. So that's why it sounds like that. So before we got into anything, I just had to shout out to EP Tiff to that, because I was like, that is inspired. Of course it is. It's not those boys, it's the Justin Bieber experience. Well, on that note, let's get into this mini-sode. You ready?
Heck yeah!
But first and foremost, we have a voicemail for the podcast, Amanda.
Hello.
I'm so sorry. I will start that over. Have you seen the TikTok where the girl's all pissed and she goes, it is disrepucking-fectful. And then she stops talking and just sits there for 10 seconds trying to figure out what she just said and what came out of her mouth. All right.
That is funny.
Sorry. That was disrepucking-fectful to Amanda for me to bring that up right now. Now on to Amanda.
Will you send me that TikTok?
If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
It's during my life.
Hello. It's Amanda. And I am positively horny with rage at Finn's arc in the New York episode. I think it's total bullshit that the writers can't just let Rachel have an arc. No. We have to insert a boy into her arc. I think that's so stupid. And Finn, if he really loved Rachel, would know that this trip was important to her and would not try to mess with it. Even when she's on stage performing in New York City, Finn is still making it about him. It's so stupid. And I know it's not Finn. It's these male writers. It's so fucking stupid. And I hate it. It's like, I've been seeing on TikTok, all of these guys are like, I have the male response version of Olivia Rodrigo's Good For You. Shut up. Nobody asked for that. Let women have character arcs. Let women develop. Shut up. I'm pissed. I love you. Goodbye.
Amanda, would you call it disrepucking-fectful?
Honestly, real disrespucking-fectful.
Spucking.
That they, I did misspeak at the beginning though, so you are repeating what I said.
Is it spucking?
It is spucking, but I said pucking at the beginning.
I have also never seen the TikTok, so.
But yeah, real disrespucking-fectful.
Spucking is good.
What they do to Rachel's plotline in this episode.
I completely agree. Especially like, you put this woman where she belongs in NYC, and you like, bring back her Lima Loser boyfriend, and you're like, let's tether her back to Ohio. And it's like, come on, dude.
And I do understand that, like, Rachel's whole deal in this is like choosing between love and career. Like, yes. That's her whole plot.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But real disrespecting-fectful of Finn to make this whole trip about himself, as Amanda pointed out, we could have this plot line, this exact plot line could be happening without Finn being like, let's not work on nationals or any of the competition and let's just try to make every moment of this trip a date.
Yeah, because like, this is like a really important thing to her, even if it's not to you, Finn. And if you cared about her, you wouldn't do that. You're a jerk.
On a completely unrelated topic, I have been working on a song I'm really excited about. I want to share with you guys. It is the male response to One Step Forward, Two Steps Back by Olivia Rodrigo.
Thank God.
I think we really need the
male perspective on this.
I think everyone's been like, but what does the guy think about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm here to tell all of you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, you are a bitch and you're crazy.
Classic. That's such, like, I swear every man on earth who dates women always, when talking about their exes, is like, well, what happened to so-and-so? It's like, oh, she was pretty crazy. Well,
do you remember that episode of Parks and Rec where they talk about that?
Which one?
Not to make this a Parks and Rec podcast.
But it always ends up being one.
It is one. I don't know if you guys have noticed. In season three, the very beginning of season three, Tom breaks up with his girlfriend, Lucy. And he has a talking head where he goes, you know, being a guy in a breakup is pretty awesome, because when someone asks you what happened, you can just say, yo, dog, turns out she's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it just ends at that.
One time we got an email that said that we reminded them of John Ralphio and Mona Lisa. And I said, that's the biggest compliment I've ever received in my whole life.
Yeah, like,
money, please. Who's John Ralphio? Who's Mona Lisa? Who would set a fire in the bathroom to get out of work?
I think I'm Jean Ralphio just from the sheer fact that I sing badly all the time.
Like bounce, 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 bounce.
Now the ladies say bounce, 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 bounce. And you're Mona Lisa by the fact that you always come into my apartment and ask for something and then start trashing my apartment until I give it to you.
I so do. Oh gosh, I have such a problem with that.
Honestly, it's really disrespectful.
Okay. Amanda, thanks heaps. I don't know why I said it like that. Up next, we have an email from Jackie.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Jackie, she, her, and I'm a Gleek. Please never stop talking about theater on your podcast, and don't feel bad about it. I can't speak for all listeners, but every time you talk about your jobs, it makes me so happy, and I'm celebrating with you. I'm a theater technician who's now also finally able to add the word working to that title.
Oh, hell yeah, Jackie.
And it's been such a long and demoralizing year for us 20-something randos. We deserve to shout it from the rooftops that we're back doing what we love. Woo! Summer stock!
Aww.
Rewatching this episode of Glee felt like rewatching a part of my development as a human. In 2011, I went to New York City for the first time on a school trip. What's up with 2011 and 2012 and going to New York on a school trip? Did everyone?
I just think Glee made theater kids, like, it was like cocaine for theater kids, and we were all just very intense. We were like, we got to get to New York now. You know what I mean?
I went to New York City for the first time on a school trip with all the theater kids, and that's when I saw my first Broadway show, which was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, starring Dana Radcliffe. So seeing that shot of Times Square in 2011 made my heart flutter. I'm moving to New York in the fall, and this episode, in true Glee fashion, gave me such conflicting emotions about it. On one hand, it's so nostalgic to think that 10 years ago I was watching this episode and feeling exactly like Kurt and Rachel, and now I'm actually going to be living out that dream. And then on the other hand, I literally want to barf. I feel embarrassed that I'm deciding to move to New York, because I can't deny the little part of my soul that wants to move there because of Glee. The show was such a great small screen representation for theater kids, and it made me feel so seen as a teenager. But it took a long time for me to recognize that pursuing theater was actually a legitimate career path, because Glee is such a campy and unrealistic show, and because later seasons do a questionable job depicting careers in the arts. Even though I loved it, I have always been fairly critical of Glee in the way you are on the podcast, so I think I just never wanted people to think I was being delusional like the characters on Glee. I remember thinking when choosing theater as my major in college that I would definitely have to add a double major, because being a theater kid isn't a real job. Spoiler alert, I didn't. And now I'm a working theater artist. At what point in your lives did you decide that you wanted to pursue theater as a career? How did your feelings about Glee, positive or negative, affect that choice for you? Lots of love to you both, Jackie. P.S. Lena, I want you to know that I also listened to the Wicked soundtrack constantly as a kid, and I had my own headcanon of what happened between the songs. It wasn't until years later when I read the Wikipedia page and was shocked to discover how little I actually knew about the plot of the show. Glad I'm not the only one.
I love this message so much. When did you, realize that pursuing theater was, like, a real thing that could happen?
I don't know. I wanted to be an actor. It was kind of what you were saying, Jackie, where I wanted to be an actor, but I was like, well, that's not a real job. Mm-hmm. I went to college for my freshman year and I majored in theater, and I like told my parents that I was like, I'm just like majoring in theater. to like get to know people, and then I'll like find out what I want to major in for real after that. Like I'll major in theater so that I can like do these classes that are fun and I can make friends, because like I have social anxiety and my parents are always like a little bit worried about my ability to make friends.
Yeah.
and I was like, and I'll try out a bunch of like different classes to see what I actually want to pursue. And in the back of my mind, I was like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then spoiler alert, it did not happen. I do want to give a shout out to my parents. They are very supportive. And honestly, I think if I had been upfront with them, they would have been worried that I was like going to be destitute, but I don't think they would have been like, we forbid it. But I was just afraid that that would happen. So, I don't know. I think I truly made that decision probably like my junior year of high school. My high school did a production of Beauty and the Beast. And I was the Beast. And I got I remember distinctly, which preface to this, it was very much a high school production of Beauty and the Beast, and I gave a high school performance of the Beast, but I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, I had no idea that like you were that good, which like is a bit of a backhanded compliment, but a lot of people came up and was like, I remember like my family members coming up because they had like seen me just kind of like do, you know, like goofy whatever roles in our community theater, and them coming up to me and saying, and I remember like, I'm so sorry, this is such a long answer. When I auditioned for the show, I didn't tell anyone that I like wanted to be the Beast. And a lot of people were like, oh, you could be like LeFou, or you could be like Gaston, which I would love to be Gaston.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to tell anyone that
we
I wanted to be
that show. We should be Gaston. That show. I should be Belle.
That honestly,
that'd be so fun.
We should. But it was like my first time ever doing a role that wasn't just like comedic and fluffy. And I had a lot of the same family members who had kind of been like, you could be LeFou, you could be this. Be like, I had no idea that you could do that.
Yeah.
And I think that show and that production was a huge turning point of me. Once again, it was very much a high school performance, but of me being like, this is a thing that I could potentially like do with my life.
Yeah.
That I could like have it be more than a hobby. That truly was such a journey, and it went all over the place.
No, I'm ready. No, I
won't. That was mine.
Yeah.
There it is. What about you?
I like discovered theater in junior high around the same time I discovered Glee. Like they feel like they go on like hand in hand for me. And I was always very intense about it. Like I loved it a lot. I was always the kid who like would cry to my mom because no one else was taking it as seriously as I was taking it. Like we would have our final dress rehearsal and I would like cry to my mom and be like, we're not ready to open. You know, like just freaking out, you know, and like I was the same up in high school. I just didn't understand that like people could do theater and it not be their whole world. I just thought that was normal, you know, and I like definitely had like dreams of being on Broadway. But I didn't know, like, the reality of being a working actor. I thought that it was, like, Broadway and then you did community theater sometimes. You know what I mean? I didn't really know, like, the regional side and, like, being a professional actor then, like, also being a person. You know what I mean? I didn't know that at all. I still, like, I feel like I don't. But I said this on the podcast before. I was a really terrible student in high school. Like, I'm not going to cry. Like, it just was so hard for me. In so many ways. So I was like, I graduated high school by the skin of my teeth. And I was like, I'm not going to go to college. Like, I'm not suited for college at all. I'm so sorry, you guys. So I took like a year off. I like worked in like a store and I was miserable and I just felt bad and like things were going on. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. Like, what would I be proud of? Like 2 years from now, what am I going to be proud of? And I was like, my dream is to work at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. Ugh. And I was like, I know that SUU does like internships and I can like at least see shows and like be around that. And then I went to school there. And then I was like, just kind of like, maybe I'll be like a theater education major like during my freshman year. And then I auditioned for the BFA and I got into Heathers and I got into the BFA and I did Heathers and people thought I did a good work in it. And I was like, wait, maybe I, this is real. And it's not just like my weird, like, the only thing, like my weird anxiety and like my weird hyperfixation I've had since I was 12, you know, like it can be a real job. And here I am working at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. And that is so crazy. That's my story.
I think I've told you this. Mm. I don't know if I have. But our college, SUU, they do like a, they do something called 24-hour theater, like after the first week of school. Mm-hmm. That's essentially just like a bunch of little skits that people put on. It's usually a bunch of freshmen who do it, and it's kind of like a showcase for who the freshmen are. And
that's
Alex,
not what it's for, but it definitely is. Like,
but that's
for
like kind of like, well, but like the people who come to watch it are usually like professors and upperclassmen who are like scoping,
are, like,
out,
like,
the
scoping out the freshmen.
And Alex, my brother, who's going to be on the podcast on Wednesday, he, after 24-hour theater, was like, that blonde girl who, like, played the mom with a bunch of kids was the best part of that show.
Really?
That he, like, from the beginning was like, she, and then a month later, you sang Somewhere That's Green at a cabaret, and he was like, that blonde girl was so talented. So,
wow.
From the very first time he saw you, he's
thank
a big
you,
fan
Alex.
Of yours.
Little did you know, now we're besties, Alex.
Really fast, not to make this answer last forever, but something you said reminded me when you're talking about how, like, you would get so emotional mm-hmm. about, like, rehearsal in high school. Mm-hmm. That was a big turning point for me, too. It was also during Beauty and the Beast that, like, my friends would always, like, they liked being in the show, but they'd always be like, oh, we have to go to rehearsal today.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it was always like rehearsal was homework. And I was like, literally,
kidding?
My day is counting down the minutes until rehearsal.
Absolutely.
And then, like, when rehearsal is over, just going through what happened in my head.
Yeah,
and, like,
me too.
I went into the first rehearsal, like, already off book because I had read the script so many times because I was so excited about mm-hmm. being in the show. Like, I lived and breathed it, thought mm-hmm. it was so fun, and noticed that, like, the other kids, yes, were having a good experience, but
definitely.
It was very much also a chore, and that for me it was like my lifeblood.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a line in The Sandlot where it's talking about, what is the kid's name, Benny, the, like,
uh-huh,
captain of
Benny.
The team. It's talking about all of the kids on the team and how for the rest of the kids, baseball was a game they played. Mm-hmm. But for Benny, it was more than a game. It was his life.
Oh my gosh.
And every time I watch The Sandlot, I'm like, that's me with theater, man. Anyways, sorry for that. Truly a novel, Jackie.
I did a quick Google. Benny the Jet.
Benny the Jet. Benny the Jet.
Jackie, thank you so much for this message. It meant a lot to me to read it, and also congrats on doing Summer Stock.
Yes.
Dude, this, like, I opened my show yesterday, today's Sunday.
You guys, it was so good.
Thanks.
It was very good.
But it was just like, I was so emotional all day, because it was like, this whole year, and Jackie, I think you feel the same, was like, just so painful to do, and to, like, finally be back in a theatrical space with, like, just people who get it. And, like, people who want to celebrate. Oh, my gosh. It was the best feeling in the whole world. Jackie, I hope you're feeling the same. Good luck with your summer stock. Thank you so much for this message. Up next, we have an email from Emma.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I'm listening to your New York... Oh, hello. I'm listening to your New York, New York episode, and I love all your episodes, obviously. But this one in particular was exactly what I needed to hear. I'm from NYC originally, and both my parents work on Broadway as stage managers, so theater is my whole life. Not to sound like an asshole, but it never occurred to me how much theater means to people when I was a kid, because it was given to me, no questions asked. Also, not to unload or anything, but my parents having a career in theater put a strain on our relationship. It's really hard to be a present parent when you have 8 shows a week. Let's just say I have a complicated relationship with Broadway. Anyway, all this to say, hearing you guys talk about your NYC theater dreams and Wicked and the kids going to New York, actually made me cry on the bus. Happy cry. Hearing you both talk about your first trips to New York and your love of theater and your big Broadway dreams resonated so much. It was a good reminder of how important theater is and how magical it is. And my parents need to work those jobs, because how else would people like you get to be the stars they deserve to be? The sacrifice is worth it, because you and Glee and this podcast and everything theater in between are what comes from it. This is a weird email, I know, but I felt like I needed to say thank you. It means a lot to me to hear about how Broadway makes people's lives better, and you did that without even trying. Oddly enough, after this essay, I have a question. If Wicked wasn't an option, what song, or more generally, show, do you think Rachel and Kurt would have chosen for their Wicked moment instead? Both within the parameters of when the show is set, you can only pick a show that was open at that time, and in general, any show ever. Okay, well, that's it. Thank you guys again so much for being wholehearted in your love of theater and New York and Broadway, because that's what the industry needs. Lots and lots of love, lots and lots of consensual forehead kisses. Emma, your favorite Jesse St. James stan. Emma, thank you so much for this email. It was very kind to read.
Yeah,
it was,
absolutely.
It made me emotional when I read it the first time. Yeah. It is very nice.
It made me emotional just a second ago. I was like, don't cry, please.
Okay, so this is truly the theater episode, but what do you expect? It's the New York episode.
I know. Also, we're opening our shows. It feels serendipitous.
Oh my gosh.
We are far from New York, but I feel similar feels.
Mm-hmm. I remember... I was going to say, this is truly the New York of Southern Utah. I remember there's at the company we're working for, the Utah Shakespeare Festival, there is like a big banner that they put on the side of the administrative building. And it's always like a production photo from one of the productions. Mm-hmm. And I remember last season, it was a picture of the guy who played Henry VI.
Yeah.
And he took a picture of it and posted it on his Instagram and said, this is the Times Square. This is Cedar City's Times Square equivalent. Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with him. I'm his biggest fan. Ian is now on the Times Square poster.
I'm on a different one.
A different poster, but similar vibes.
But it's bigger. Is it bigger than that one? Yes.
And it's, I love that photo so much. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have here the Broadway season from 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm just looking at it right now.
I got an answer right up top.
You
if
do?
You need,
what
some,
is it?
Need some time. Okay.
I do need some time.
So for going off of the shows that were playing in 2011, I have to say For Good, for me at least, is by far the best choice.
Yeah,
I was looking through
the
season and I was like, this is a stretch.
Yeah.
The closest I could find that had a somewhat similar vibe is the Sutton Foster revival of Anything Goes was on Broadway at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking they could sing You're the Top,
mm-hmm,
or they could sing Friendship. The issue is both those songs are very much about, like, we really love each other and, like we kind of, like, have changed each other's lives a little bit,
yeah,
but they're far more comedic than For Good. But they don't have that, like, underlying also love of theater that For Good has. So
yeah,
those are my picks. I think they're far weaker choices,
yeah,
than the actual song in the episode, though.
One of my thoughts, just looking at this list, is like How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and then them doing like I Believe in You.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know what I mean? That would
that
be cool.
That is good.
Right? And like
I
looking
love
at
that show.
I know. Like looking at each other and being like, you've got the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like right before their big thing, like it would be like a cool, like, you know, get your head in the zone thing. Mm-hmm. But I agree. Like For Good is a great choice.
Yes.
So, yeah.
If we're going all time.
All time.
I do have a song that I personally think is better than For Good.
Tell me.
But the thing is, it's a trio.
Okay.
So here's the canon. The Kurt and Rachel plot also includes Mercedes.
Oh, I love that.
Because she also has like big stardom dreams, mm-hmm, and that she breaks into the theater with them. Mm-hmm. And it's where they're doing a production of Merrily We Roll Along by Stephen Sondheim. And they sing, it's our time starting now. Na, 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 na. Yeah.
Me and you.
Me and you, pal. Me and you. Me and you. Something, something. Hear what's happening.
Have you seen Lady Bird?
Hear what's happening. I have not seen Lady
First
Bird.
First of all, you have to. That's the school play they do is Merrily.
What? That's
yeah,
such a good show and no one ever does it.
Especially high schools.
I love Merrily We Roll Along.
It's so, you
it's
have to see
It's because the
movie.
First production was bad and it bombed and it closed after like 2 weeks. And so no one does it. But the revival was very good.
It was. I think that's a great idea. I don't think I have a better, like, all time answer. So I think I'll just hop onto your answer and do the cop out
thing. Our time, baby.
It's really good. I sang that in high school with my two best friends.
Aww.
Isn't that sweet? Emma, thank you so much for this message. Very special to me. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your parents putting in that work to change lives out there. But thank you. I really appreciate it.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Rose.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name's Rose and my pronouns are she, they. I'm recording from Melbourne, Australia.
International listener!
And I just wanted to say, I love this podcast and having you play in my ears brings me so much joy. I've got so many thoughts on New York. I think Kurt and Rachel sneaking onto the set of Wicked might be my favorite ever Glee moment. It's so like incredibly implausible and extra. And I just think it sums up the show. Also, can we talk about how great an actor Chris Colfer is? I can't. He's so brilliant. Just love my cup, like it's such a bop. Should have been chosen as their original song. And also, my favorite piece of exposition is in this episode when Rachel goes, "We made it. We're one of the top 50 show choirs in the nation. Tomorrow, only 10 will move on to showcase, while they'll vie for the national championship." It's like, for all the time spent talking about nationals this season, they really didn't spend a second on the details, huh? Anyway,
oh my gosh,
one. Yes, Rose, I didn't even clock that. The, like, such force.
Yeah. Rachel,
like, who talks like that?
Honestly, I love it. Rachel Berry does. But that's because these writers are pretty boring. I mean, they're pretty bad at their job.
Every morning when Lena and I are walking to our show, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're about to do Pirates of Penzance, which we will perform in front of an audience of 800 people. And the first act is a song and the second act is a song. And then at the end, we will bow and they will clap. I think it's very important that you mm-hmm. have to spell out how everything works before you actually do the event.
Isn't it so funny? We've been talking about nationals for a whole season. And we didn't know how it would work at all.
Because these writers did not care about nationals this season. And then, as many people pointed out, nationals never works this way again.
Yeah,
this is the only season where there are rounds to nationals, which is much more realistic in how show choir competitions actually work. And in the future, nationals is just like sectionals or regionals where they perform once and then a winner is chosen. Mm-hmm. The writers truly could not be bothered. They did not care about nationals at all.
Totally. Good pointing that out, Rose, honestly.
Well, you guys, right now we're going to continue the minisode, which is where you send us in emails and you send us in voicemails and then we play them or we read them out loud to you. And then after we read your thoughts, we answer your questions and talk a little bit about what you talked about. And then at the end, we play the relative pitch game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks so much,
You're
Ian.
Welcome.
I do love exposition. Rose, thank you so much. Up next, we have an email from Danae.
Hey, Ian and Lena. This episode is definitely very rushed. In fact, Brad Falchuk talked about how the first edited version of this episode was 20 minutes too long, and so they had to cut a bunch of scenes. Also, according to him, quote, "All the bad juju of the Quinn breakup was in Quinn's hair, and with the haircut, she got rid of it." Unquote. What does that even mean? Anyway, this is also where the Wemma hot action quote from the Glee Wiki comes from. One of the deleted scenes was later found and goes as follows. The girls, stage direction. I guess it's not a stage direction if it's not on stage. What do you call it in a TV script? Who knows?
I don't know.
The girls are really trying to write a kick-ass song. It's difficult. Read for... Who do you want to read for?
Anyone. Should we just go back and forth and we'll just say...
You be Brittany and Quinn. I'll be Kurt and Rachel.
Okay, perfect. Brittany says, "Why can't we just perform My Headband? It's a classic."
Kurt, "Ladies, can I make a free observation as you've temporarily saved me from a hotel room filled with 5 teenage boys whose hormones make the room smell like a one large armpit? While I think the Fabre-Barry collaboration on Loser Like Me was amazing, Rachel, Barry Fabre.
Quinn, no, it's Fabre-Barry.
Kurt, I think it was also maybe a little too self-involved. It was sort of me, me, me. What I think will win us nationals is a song that's joyful and light, you know? A kick-ass summer song that exudes happiness. Rachel, Kurt's exactly right. Let's brainstorm. I've got it. The song will be called Peaches.
Quinn, we're not going to win this thing with sunshine and rainbows. Then not... Oh, what? Sunshine and rainbows? Not all of our personal fairy tales are going as well as yours, Kurt. Some of us are dealing with little hurt. I wouldn't mind writing about that. In fact...
She picks up the phone, hits a button.
Room service?
Kurt, are you ordering ahi tartare? Make it two.
Quinn, I'd like to order 6 Brandy Alexanders, please, and a pitcher of a Long Island iced tea.
Rachel, Quinn, what are you doing? You'll get us in trouble. We told Mr. Shu we wouldn't drink.
Quinn, until nationals, hey, guess what? We're in New York. We should kick back and loosen up and with a few drinky poos like all the great writers. Fitzgerald / Dorothy Parker. That's into the phone. That's right. Just charge it to the room.
The girls and Kurt cheer, excited as we move through the wall to find... And then the scene ends. So for one, the writers did not forget about the anti-alcohol contract. Also, apparently Brad forgot which song Quinn and Rachel wrote for regionals. And there is some nice queer bait with Fabre trying to figure out how to hyphenate their last names. But more interestingly, we get somewhat of an idea of what Quinn's plan would have been. Apparently, she was going to try to get them drunk, either with the intention of them not being able to write good songs or in order to have half the team be too hungover to perform. It feels pretty true to Quinn's character. After all, she was drunk the night she ended up pregnant, and her parents seemed pretty fond of their alcohol as well. So Quinn thinking that simply getting the team drunk would ruin their competition because alcohol has already ruined so much in her life feels like it makes sense in a sad way. While I wish the Quinn storyline would have been given more depth, I do like the scene that stayed in the episode. It still feels incredibly rushed and isn't a good follow-up to the big cliffhanger of last episode, but I like whenever we actually get to see the unholy trinity be friends. And it feels like a nice close on Quinn and Santana's shared arc this season. Essentially from the premiere, the season has been a year-long arc of a feud between Quinn and Santana. It started when Quinn took Cheerio's captain from Santana by snitching about her boob job. Then it continued when Santana decided to expose Quinn's cheating with Finn and running off with Sam. And in the last part of the season, they both run for prom queen, even giving us the iconic "You suck so bad, Quinn Fabre" line. It seems like they are just constantly trying to get back at each other for something the other did. But in this scene, there is a change. Not right from the start. It still starts with Santana telling Quinn to just get over herself at first. But there seems to be a switch in her attitude when Quinn says, "I just want somebody to love me." I feel like this is the moment where Santana realizes that while they both have been dealing with their own problems, Quinn has done it in a much more lonely way. Throughout Santana figuring out her sexuality, Brittany has always stuck by her side and never left her behind, and now Quinn needs someone like that. Also, the scene is amazing for Quinn declining a threesome that she was not offered. The only reason I can appreciate pretending is because everyone in the fandom I know strongly believes that it's actually Quinn who wrote the song and gave it to Finn to sing with Rachel, similarly to how Rachel told Finn what corsage to give Quinn. I mean... Will we ever say the words we're feeling, reach down underneath, and tear down the walls? Will we ever have our happy ending, or will we forever only be pretending? Keeping secrets safe, every move we make seems like no one's letting go, and it's such a shame, because if you feel the same, how am I supposed to know? This is textbook sapphic pining. Another fandom theory is that Santana wrote Light Up the World for Brittany. With lyrics like, "It's been tearing me apart, never knowing what we are," and "You and me keep on trying to play it cool, but now it's time to make a move, and that's what I'm gonna do," is again textbook sapphic pining, but this time with a beat. And I have to agree with Ian here. It is better than Loser Like Me, if only because it doesn't have a bridge that makes me want to die on the spot from secondhand embarrassment. I hope you have a great week. I have loved the first 2 seasons of this podcast, and I can't wait until the next episode. Danae, she, her, from the Netherlands. Heck yeah, Danae, woman of taste.
It's really actually super interesting because everyone who has messaged us about whether Loser Like Me is better than or
Light Up the World.
Light Up the World. Everyone who has messaged us has agreed with Ian, but in the polls, that is not reflecting.
It's because the Light of the World people, we got to speak up. We got to be heard. We're tired of being stifled. We need our opinions known. Light of the World is better. Also, it does not surprise me they cut 20 minutes from that episode.
Oh, not at all.
You could tell.
Yes.
I am glad they cut that scene, if only because Quinn referred to drinks as drinky poos. No, thank you, Bradley.
I know. Also, I like the idea. I don't think I'd ever heard that before, that pretending is is from Quinn. I like that. I think I like it better.
Yeah, I still couldn't tell you what the tune of that song is, though.
Yeah.
I was reading those lyrics and I was like, I don't know how these go.
Literally, honestly. I'm honestly very nervous for the Rails with Pitch game. So
neither
what
of
if
us
we
are doing
skip
pretending.
It?
No, because we have like Bella Notte and we have New York, New York and we have For Good. Like,
oh,
we
okay,
got.
Okay, okay, got it.
And
got
like,
it.
I know Light Up the World well enough that I could do Light Up the World.
Okay.
But yeah, we're not pretending is disqualified.
Yeah. I can't do Matthew Morrison's song.
I forgot that song was even in the episode.
Literally.
Yeah, no. And the Vocal Adrenaline number, I don't know how any of those songs go.
Yeah.
Hey, they're no Light Up the World, I'll tell you that.
Any hoosers. Danae, thank you so much for this message. Thank you for that, for your thoughts, and thank you for that scene. I think it adds definitely a perspective in the episode that I think is randomly necessary, which doesn't that suck? Like, like, it makes so much sense that 20 minutes was cut from the episode.
Yeah.
Silly. Freaking glee. What the hell? Danae, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week too. Last but certainly not least, we have a voicemail from Amelia.
Hey, this is Ian from the future. This voicemail has a spoiler at the end, so if you care about that, either just skip a minute ahead now or listen to the first 30 seconds and then skip 30 seconds.
Hi guys, my name's Amelia. I'm from Wisconsin and I go by she, her. I just wanted to first say that you guys are seriously so funny. My second semester of my freshman year of college, I would spend like 8-hour days in the fashion lab just sewing and sewing and sewing for my classes and listening to you guys just on loop making these jokes and just like with your hilarious and awesome laughs. Seriously, just got me through the day. Like, thank God for masks. I would just keep like laughing. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for calling the haircut plot for Quinn in the last episode like kind of sexist and like calling it stupid, because I've always felt that way and just could not explain it. But you also skipped over Santana's hilarious joke where she said, "I know how to make you feel better," and Quinn goes, "Sorry, Santana, I'm just really not into that." Are you kidding? That's so funny. And dare we say foreshadows for season 4, I believe. Okay, I'm running out of time, but thank you guys so much. I love you guys. Bye.
I'm glad you enjoy the podcast, Amelia. That makes me very happy. Yeah, that line, I think it's mostly just Quinn reaching for things that aren't there, you know?
Yeah. Once again, everyone, if you're having a hard time, consider a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Brad Falchuk. Amelia, thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm very glad that it could make you laugh.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that people find this entertaining.
Like, that honestly is like such a compliment and like brings me so much joy that like me just hanging out with my friend and like talking about this show and like talking about my life like can like make someone else happy, because it makes me so happy to do. Mm-hmm. And I love hearing from you guys. I love that you guys are just so fun and cool, and the way that you think that I'm also fun and cool, like, that is crazy.
Honestly, it's really respucking-fectful.
Respucking-fectful.
Whenever you guys tell us that you think we're entertaining, it means a lot to us. Thank you very much.
That is our minisode on New York, New York. That's, you know, season 2.
Hey-o.
That's crazy. In a couple of days, on Wednesday, we have our season 2 recap coming out, starring the one and only Alex Allred. My bestie. Did you hear? He thought I was cool as even as a freshman. Are you ready to play the relative pitch game to send these kids
Heck
off?
Yeah, we got My Cup. We got I Love New York / New York, New York. We got Still Got Tonight disqualified. We got Bella Notte. We got For Good. We got Yeah. We got As Long As You're There disqualified. We got Pretending disqualified. We got Light Up the World. Mm-hmm. Who went first last time?
You'd we should think, really like keep track of that.
You'd think we'd pay attention.
Because also we have the same conversation every single week.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. I think the world is changing so much and so much is so unstable that people really need something they can count on, and they can count on the fact that we will never remember who went first last week, and we will always have this conversation every time we play the relative
pitch
game.
Someone put that in an email, then I'll know.
If you're going to email us, you better end it with telling us who went first in the relative pitch game last week.
That is so funny. I'm in full of my chair. Okay. Should we just like... Gosh, what did
last week you sang My Man.
I think I went second. I think you went first.
I was going to say, I think you went second. Yes. Okay, so you're first.
Okay, what should I sing?
Oh, my word. I want you to sing Still Got Tonight by Matthew Morrison. Ian, that's so funny. Wait, that's the funniest bit you've ever done. Everyone's laughing. I would like you to sing... I'd like you to sing... For Good. Do For Good.
Oh, you're so sweet to me. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today. Because I knew poo.
Started out very beautiful and Thank it you. Really took a turn.
Well, sometimes I'm like, I hope this doesn't sound self-indulgent. Like us just like singing at the end of this. Because that's not how I want it to be. That's really, like, truly.
Oh, what keys? And I have no idea. I heard it said.
Honestly, no, for real. That's why I don't do karaoke. Hear me out. Because I do sing. And I don't want it to sound like I'm like, here to like show everyone up, so I just go to karaoke and like cheer on my friends and then do big group numbers. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to like crash the. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because it's like, you know, the girl who sings coming to do karaoke. It's like it's not open mic night, broski.
Yeah, and honestly, I know I'm who I am today because I knew poo.
I'm so sorry.
You took the words. Right out of, dare I say, Stephen Schwartz's mouth?
I'll say it.
I think
What notes was I singing, brother?
You said what he wasn't brave enough to say. All right. Okay, so for I Heard It Said, you think it is E flat, F, A flat, B flat.
Did I sing that?
Yeah.
I've heard it said. Okay, cool.
Oh, let's hope. It might be one of those situations where I get off. I've heard it said that people come into. Well, you should hope you sang that because that's the right key.
Oh, hell yeah. I hope I sang that. Because I don't have a good enough pitch that I could decipher like all the time. You know what I mean? But I think I hope I got that right. Does that make... Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not following. What?
Like, I sang it, and then you played it on the piano, and I was like, that sounds enough like what's going on.
Okay.
But, like, I don't have good enough pitch that I could, like, correct you, I think.
Okay, that does make sense.
I love myself. Ian, I want you to sing New York, New York, New York, New York. That's the mashup. All right.
New York, New York, New York, New York. New York, New York, New York, New York, New York, New York. Was that the right key?
I think so.
I don't like cities, but I like New York. The famous places to visit are so many. So the places make me feel like a dork. I told my grandpa I wouldn't miss on any. Los Angeles is for people who sleep.
Pussies who sleep. That's what Madonna says.
That's what...
Is that what Madonna says?
Honestly, probably. got to see the whole town right from Yonkers on down to the bay. Okay, so I think the I don't like cities, but I like New York is a B, D, and an A.
The famous places to visit are so many.
Oh, I can already tell him off. Oh, wait. I'm on. I was wrong. Thank goodness, it's been so long.
Cities there are so many other cities. Make me feel like a dog.
Okay, I gotta look up these.
Grandpa wouldn't miss on any. Gotta see the whole town down, right from Yonkers on down to the bay.
My favorite part of that song is the On the Town bits. No hate, no shade to you, Madonna, but man, On the Town really showed you up in your own song.
Little pussies who scream. I was right. They do say she does say pussies.
Well,
wow.
All
them's our mini synth.
Yeah, that's it. We both got relative pitch. Finally, it's been a long time since
that
happened.
When was the last time we got both of us got it?
But I mean, correlation is not causation. But the last few times we were in the middle of tech, and we are no longer in tech.
True. Now we're in the previous.
Now we're in previous. All right, 12.
Well,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll see you back here Wednesday.
I love how you you emphasize that as if I was everyone. That I was know. Like, thank you, everyone. And you were like, no, thank you,
I was
everyone.
Mostly just trying to one-up you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But have a great rest of your week.
If you got thoughts on season 2 as a whole,
Yeah.
What did season 2 mean to you? What did you think of it when you watched it live versus how did you think of it rewatching it as an adult? What are your favorite performances in all of season 2? What are your favorite episodes? What are your worst episodes? You can send us what you think your superlatives are.
Yeah. What do you think is the worst episode of Glee season 2? Let me know.
If you had to kill one person and it was Lena and I in the room, which one of us would you kill? Let us know. Voicemails at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek.
If you say me, I will cry.
Emails at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Sheesh. The stakes just got mad high.
I just want to spice it up.
Hope you guys have a great week. Love you so much. Congrats. Oh my gosh, a few people mentioned that they were graduating.
Congratulations. I'd like to highlight that pun because I don't think you appreciated it.
I mean, I heard it.
But did you appreciate it?
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.